you can come to both. All right, with that being said, we're starting this series. That is called With Us. With Us. And as this bumper video comes to a close, I have a question that I want to present to all of you. Just curious. How many of you grew up recognizing Advent in your church as you were growing up as a young person? Anybody in here? All right, maybe here's a better question. How many people did not? Wow. Look around the room. And so I thought it might be good just to spend a few moments talking about Advent. You know, Advent starts the liturgical year. The church calendar starts with Advent. And I want you to know, you won't find Advent in your Bible. And for some of us, that might be a problem. But let me just make sure you understand. We're not saying Advent itself, that word is in the Bible. The word actually means coming. It's a Latin word. It comes from a Latin word. It means coming. And all the Advent, you know, when we say Advent, we're just describing this season in the church calendar, in the church year. It's a time that over the next usually 4 weeks, it's a time to prepare for Christ's advent, for his coming. This is a time of anticipation because we identify with the ancient Jewish people in their longing for the Messiah as it was foretold by the prophets. John the Baptist, as you heard the Advent reading this morning, you know, the section that if you read John's message, not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle, he refers to in that Advent reading, some verses they did not get to, about the foretelling of Jesus. He was a forerunner to Jesus. And like them, like those, like John the Baptist, like the prophets of old, we come during this season with our eyes looking in through the darkness to see the light. The light that has been promised, the light that is coming, the light has come, the light that will come again, and the light that comes into our lives. You know, we cry out for God to come and put the world right. When we're doing like that, we're looking at the second coming of Christ. And he will come again, amen? He is coming again, right? And while our culture mounts from the consumer frenzy that's been around us, I pray that we wait quietly for the coming of Christ. In Advent, we focus in on three comings, three different times. One is we connect with the saints of the Bible, looking forward, and we celebrate his arrival in that manger. And then, as I've said a couple of times already, we look forward to his coming again. But this series this year, you know, as we've talked about it as a teaching team and we prayed through it, we pray and we feel that the Lord wants to put his finger more so in this series on his intermediate entrance into our own lives. What does it look like when God shows up, when God with us becomes a reality for you and for me? So to get us started, we're going to read part of what we call the Christmas story. And we're going to read it from the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm going to read a segment of it that we're eventually going to come to and focus on for this particular message. Actually, we're going to pick up at verse number 39 of chapter 1. So if you found it, say amen. If you haven't found it yet, say, wait a minute. Oh, come on now. It's Luke. It's one of the, you know, it's an easy book to find. New Testament. Let's find it. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. As a matter of fact, to let me know that everybody has it, would you just stand in honor of the reading of his word this morning? Now, this is not on the overhead, so I pray that you have your Bibles with you, or you have your devices, or you can look on with someone else. And I just want to read just a few verses from this Christmas story, starting at verse 39. It reads as follows. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this story that we reflect on every year. And Father, we pray that this year we will get a fresh word from you, a one that will impact us individually and collectively as a body of Christ, that will make a difference in our world, in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I wanted to start there because when you look at that passage, it says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. It makes us wonder, well, what was going on? Why all of a sudden did she need to go in this direction? It's interesting that if you know the passage and if you're looking at it now, what comes before this is that the angel had visited Mary and gave her the incredible news that she would give birth to the Savior of the world. And Mary felt compelled to go visit her aunt and her uncle. Why? Why was it that the Bible says that at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea? Well, hang on, and I think we're going to come up with some answers to that question, some answers that probably will cause us to look at this whole story maybe in a different light this morning. Now, I started with a question about how many of you celebrated or acknowledged or recognized Advent when you were growing up, and there was a lot of hands here that did not raise. I think I would get some hands, more hands raised on this one. How many of you would say that all of your relationships in your life are right and they're good and they leave you with a deep sense of joy? Anybody can say that? Just raise your hand. All of your relationships. I said all of them now. Okay, well, maybe I need to ask it like this. How many of you would say that I have some relationships that feel distant? Oh, man, yeah, I'm in the right place. So this morning, my assignment for the next few minutes is to talk with you and to share with you about how the birth of Jesus makes a difference in our relationships and our sense of community. This Christmas story that we reflect upon every year, God with us, when we embrace that and we really look for him and we really realize when he comes into our world, then the effect of that is that it makes a difference in our relationships and our sense of community. This is about an invitation into community. A little different approach to the Advent series. A little different approach to the Christmas story. You know, if you want to know what to name the candle that was lit this morning, let's name that candle community. And come next week and the week after, and we continue to name until we get to the Christ candle in the middle. So what are you talking about, Derek? What do you keep talking about? You know, I'm talking about this, and in order for us to really understand how Jesus came to affect our community life and our relationships, we have to kind of go back to the beginning. We have to go back to the beginning and we have to understand that community was God's idea from the very beginning. I mean, this is what God had in mind after the creation of the world, of the universe. He had in mind community. You know why I know? Look at Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Who is the us? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. See, God, by his just very nature, is all about community. This is who he, you know, I don't know, I wish I could really open up your brain and get this into your head, but just think about it. You know, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the God the Son, the God the Holy Spirit are in perfect community with each other. One doesn't try to outdo the other. They all are just in perfect community and are completely satisfied with each other. The Father loves and enjoys the Son and the Spirit. The Son loves and enjoys the Father and the Spirit. And the Spirit loves and enjoys the Father and the Son. God created people to join him in this community. It is out of the overflow of this love that we see in this Trinity that God created man. I mean, we see it in verse 18 of chapter 2. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Y'all remember this passage? Y'all, this sounds familiar? I mean, out of his satisfaction with the community that he himself was, he created man, and then he went a little further and decided that it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he created woman to be with the man, and it continued to say, the man said, this is after he created the woman, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And then look at verse 24. "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." You know, from this passage, we get an idea of what authentic relationship really looks like. Three words that we can extract from this passage. These three words, if you're wondering if your relationships are good, if you're wondering if your community is sound, I suggest that you test them with these three words right here. Helper. Someone to come alongside of and to live life together. Intimacy. In that passage, we see intimacy. I love T.D. Jakes. One time I heard him say, intimacy, he just broke it down. Into me. See. And when we live life like that, when we have relationships around us where we can have intimacy with one another, there's no shame. Amen? I mean, that's something to say. No shame. And the final one is unity. The two will become one. I believe that in this Advent season, starting out this Sunday, the Lord wants to just kind of nudge us to examine our relationships and to examine our community around us to see if these words apply to us or if we have fallen victim to what happened after chapter 2. Y'all remember after chapter 2 of Genesis, don't you? Yeah. The big dilemma, sin was and is a relationship wrecker and a community breaker. Separation, anything that we do that separates us from the love of God, separates us from his presence, wrecks our relationships and breaks community. It kind of looks like this. I'm doing something that I know it's not what I'm supposed to do. I start hiding from those that know me best. Amen? And the next thing I know, I'm all out on my own, isolated, feeling shame and guilt. I mean, that's what happened after during the fall. Look at it. Then the man and the wife heard, this is after the fall, after the fruit was eaten, after fingers have been pointed. Well, fingers are getting ready to be pointed now. But after all this has happened, look how the Bible describes it. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And this is something, every time I read this, it just sends chills up my spine, because not because I'm so sorry for them, but it's so familiar to me. Huh? The Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." What happened to the no shame? Y'all see how this works? Anybody ever had this experience themselves? Oh, y'all not raising your hand now. Okay, all right, I got you. Okay. And you know, it goes on. You know, I, it's so much in the narrative of this book that talks about this pattern. You know, what we see in the old, all throughout the Old Testament is a constant, is a continual God coming close and man pulling back. God trying to attract us to him, and the things of this world, whether it's sins that we do or sins that other people do or just the brokenness of this world. I don't know which one it is. Sometimes it's all three. It causes us to start bagging away. But God is a good God. God is a loving God because he does not give up. And he continues to make a way for us to get our relationships right and to be in a good, sound, authentic community. Let me show you what it looks like. I promise I won't try to preach the whole Old Testament, but I got a couple of points. See, here how it goes. The creation of the world and the fall of humankind that was followed by the choosing of one family to bless all families and one nation to bless all nations. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yeah, but even in that, the family, Abraham and all his descendants, they kept messing it up. And then there was the exodus of that nation from captivity. You know, he chose this person and raised up this nation so that he could redeem mankind to himself. But then that nation fooled around and got into captivity because of their disobedience. And then he brought them out of captivity. And then he gave the law and settled them into a land. I think I went too fast. There you go. But then he calls, it keeps going. It doesn't stop there. Because then it was choosing of kings and building of a temple. And for a while, the people that he chose, the people of Israel, they thought, okay, we're on our way now. We have a temple. God's presence is right here with us. But then they messed that up. You know, they messed that up because there was infighting between the kings. And then they decided they didn't want to be one country. And they wanted to split into two countries. And all kind of stuff, chaos started coming. The temple that they built, that the presence of God, that they could go and be there, they started to desecrate the temple and bring idols into the temple. And God just had enough that he scattered them. And they came and they went into exile. The prophets were crying out. And they would return, some of them, but they would live under the Persians, the Greeks, and then the Romans. And right before we get to this passage that we're talking about, they suffer a long, long, long wait where they couldn't even hear the voice of the Lord. You know, you say, oh man, that's those people. But you know what? We go through some of the same things ourselves, both corporately as a church and individually. You know, I had the joy of going up to the hospital yesterday. I saw Brandon Thomas. Anybody know Brandon Thomas? You show your hands if you know Brandon Thomas. Brandon's his wife, Becky. They're members here at the church. And Becky had their little baby boy two weeks early. And I walked into the room. I called, you know, and said, I'm coming up. And she said, he told me, well, Becky, you know, 2 weeks early, she's having some things done upstairs. I walked in, and there was Brandon sitting on the bed, laying on the bed with his boots. He wear boots, work boots all the time. There he was with his work boots on with his baby on his chest. I walked in there. I said, man, now that's it right there. The innocence and the preciousness of that child that he was holding. I wonder how long before that child will begin to experience the brokenness of this world. I wonder how long before that child will begin to do things to add to the brokenness that he might experience. But you know what I saw yesterday and I came away with? Just brought joy to my heart. It's how God intended us to be. Just dependent and loving on him. Just like that child was in Brandon's arms. Didn't even know his daddy had on work boots. Just trusting totally. I asked Brandon, I said, man, where you learn to hold a baby like that? He said, well, I've held my nieces sometimes every now and then, but it just came natural. The baby cried. I just picked her up, and that's all I knew to do. I just threw that in there to make you say ooh and ah. But it was a very, very good picture. You know, God is a good God because even as the people went through all the things that I've described here, God gave them a sign that he was still with them. He's still for them. He was still going to rescue them. We see that sign in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Remember this passage? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Now, to be correct, the context for that was, you know, the king was, you know, siding up with an evil king to overthrow the southern kingdom, and Isaiah was trying to talk to him, and the king wouldn't hear it, so he spoke these words, but these words became prophetic because we see them again repeated in the New Testament. But I don't want to stay there long because we had what God intended in the beginning. We had how sin would do us, but God has his grand solution. God sent his son to save people and restore community or relationships. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to do two things. One, I want to revisit our Advent reading that we had this morning. And by the way, the Advent reading will be done every Sunday during this Advent series, right at the beginning of the service. So get here early. You don't want to miss that. Really gets our service started right. But look at John, the disciple John. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John was saying to the listeners and saying to us today that even through all these years, what we described earlier, that God, the light, Jesus, was shining in the darkness. In those days when they were rebelling, in those days when I rebelled, in those days when they were worshiping idol gods, in those days when I give my allegiance to something other than God, in those days when they just could not seem to find their way, in those days when I seemed to be lost, there's a light shining. There's a light shining, and all that darkness cannot extinguish that light. All I have to do is keep looking out in the distance, waiting expectantly, because the light is there. Have you ever seen that light? Have you ever sensed that light in you? Have you? It's there. No matter how dark the days get, no matter how gloom it looks, there's a light because Jesus shines bright. And then on verse 14, the word, that same word that he talked about, that he's been preaching about, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God with us. And he says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So I want to return back to our passage now. I think we set it up real well. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. And I said we're going to look back and we're going to examine why did Mary get ready and hurry to a town. Well, let's back up. Start at verse number 26 and listen to the word of God. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age, in her old age. And she who was able to, said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her, and then we pick up with what we read before. What I'm trying to get over to you is when we know the whole story, the reason Mary was hurrying to her Aunt Elizabeth is she had gotten some disturbing news. You say, "But the angel was talking to her." Yeah, but the angel didn't live in the neighborhood. And if we go back to Matthew, we got to look a little bit. We got to add something to this. Go to Matthew. Look at Matthew's account. And look at verse number 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. That's something Luke, you know, we didn't get quite clear. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Do we understand now why Mary was in such a hurry to go and talk to somebody? I mean, can you imagine this? Her own husband now is thinking about divorcing her. And we were back in the green room praying and talking about this message before, and I slipped and said, I said, "Kill her by mistake." I said, "How do you mean? It's divorce her." But do you know that according to the law, he had the right to put her away to have her stoned? So Mary had problems. Her universe had been kind of shaken here. This is the reason why she is going to her Aunt Elizabeth. I wonder why she didn't go to the neighbors next door. Huh? I wonder why she didn't go down the street to the temple and talk to them. I think I know why. Can you imagine what it'd be like if here you are unmarried and you're betrothed? And let me talk about this whole going to be married. See, they did it different than we do it now. See, Joseph had taken her to be his wife. And the custom of that time was, in this time period where they're betrothed, they're just as good as married, but they haven't consummated the marriage. But, everybody knows that this is who is going to be his wife. And what happens in that time in between is that the husband would go and prepare a place for the bride. Oh, that doesn't sound familiar. He's going to go and prepare a place for the bride. He has to acquire someone to live and make sure that living, that place was up to standard. He has to talk with his family and her family to make the accommodations. So Joseph is hard doing all of that. And then all day, somebody comes up, somehow, some way, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. I guess Mary told him, I'm pregnant. Relationships. All the potential for relationships to go south. All potential for Mary to withdraw from everyone around her. But because Jesus is involved, because Jesus is in the middle of the story, Jesus makes a way for her to deal with this situation. Let's look back at the passage that we read earlier. And it's just real simple. It's not a complicated message today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit is speaking to each of us. Because before I even read the scripture, have you ever been in a situation to where you had things that seemed like it was more than you can handle on your plate? When you have things happen to you that are unexplainable, that you just said, I don't deserve this. I mean, here she was, just a young woman wanting to be married, wanting to be a wife. And the angel puts this on her. What does she do? Where does she go? And so let's pick it up. Let's pick it up. Here we go. We says it's just a couple of verses. Starting with this one. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. All I know is this: when a need arises, we need to take the initiative and share it with someone that we can trust. That's community. That's a relationship that's solid. In the midst of her despair, God created a way for her to deal with what she was facing. When we look at the rest of the passage, in a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her. I was toying with a picture that shows the two women greeting each other, but you're talking about community. Think about it. She hurried to go to her aunt, and when she arrived, the babies leaped in the womb. Jesus, John the Baptist, Mary, Elizabeth. Community, a safe place, a place where God could pour out his love on all of those there. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And you know, I think sometimes when we read, I can't say for you, when I read these passages like this, I read through them so fast that I really don't see all the things that are there, right there in broad daylight. But I just don't recognize. What does this look like? Two things happened. A need arose. Mary took the initiative. She shared it with somebody else, Elizabeth. And the other side of the coin is this. When Elizabeth heard the need, what did she do? She listened, she blessed her, and she gave her encouragement. How much better would our world be? How much better would y'all relationships be if we would operate like that? Instead of taking these burdens and internalizing them and let them come out in manifestations that make us sick, what if we would really embrace community and we would cultivate relationships so that when those burdens come on us, we know somebody that we can go to. Am I right, brother? We can go to and we just can confide in. And we don't have to carry that load all by ourselves. And if we're careful about it, if we're persistent with it, what will happen is that we will find ourselves in a community to that in return, we can trust that we're going to have somebody that's going to listen. They're just going to speak blessings. And they're going to encourage us in return. That's what we see in this passage. That's what we want to talk about on this first week of Advent. But here it is, and you know, it can't get any better than this unless you had somebody live and in person that can share a similar story. Would you welcome Cindy Gilliard Tate as she makes her way up to the podium? When I was working on this message, I told you I was toying with the picture, and I said, well, the picture would do it, but the picture just, you know, it's a picture, you know, and it's just a photograph, and it's not even a real people. And I kept saying, Lord, I wish I had somebody that can talk about this maybe from a first-hand perspective. And I tell you, no joke, his face just came up in my heart, in my mind. And I was hesitant because, as you're going to hear in a minute, this is not an easy story. But I called her. I called her and I shared with her. I said, let me tell you what I'm working on. Let me tell you what I feel. And she said right away, yeah, Pastor, I'll share about it. So welcome Cindy as she shares with us for just a few minutes.
Greetings, y'all. Can you hear me? All right. So my name is Cindy Gilliard Tate, and I was honored that Pastor Derek asked me to speak, and I'm honored to speak to y'all as well. So I have community throughout this presentation, and how many of y'all have seen Fiddler on the Roof? So you know how he says, tradition. So every time I hit community, I'm going to say it like he said, tradition. Community. Okay, and I did get pastor's approval. I didn't decide this. So let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I actually attended Christ Community Church for about 2 years before joining, but I've been a member for 5 years, and I'm blessed to be in different groups, including Grief Share and Celebrate Recovery. Community! So Celebrate Recovery, I'm going to call it CR. I actually heard about CR at Gifted to Serve. A member talked about how it helped her to heal after her divorce. So many of you already know that my husband died on August 14th. And I went to CR, and all I did that night was cry in the arms of one of God's daughters and my sister. And my forever family prayed for me. I needed to be in a community that understood that I was hurting, and it was okay to cry. And they would put their arms around me and love me, and that's what they did. Now, this is a shameless plug. Celebrate Recovery meets every Thursday, 6:30 p.m., in the Milgen Room right over here. And if you don't have a ride, just call the church by 3 p.m., and you will be picked up and taken back. Shameless plug. Okay. But also, the people, the congregations, the attendees of Christ Community Church and the leadership team lifted me up in prayer in August, and they continue to do so. They checked on me as I find my way, because that's what I'm doing. I'm on a healing and I'm mourning and I'm grieving journey to find out who I am now. And they're checking on me and making sure I'm okay. They did everything, assisted me with the program, the menu, greeters, servers, and so much more. And I thank you again. So Oma, who is Arnell's mom, she said it would kill her to come to the funeral. She couldn't do it. So this wonderful community streamed the service so Oma could see it. And then we have flash drives we provided, and this wonderful community, they put the service on there, and I was able to send that to her and his siblings. Community! Yes. And it meant so much, and it means so much to me as well. So as time went by, you know, the leadership team talked about grief share. And in a nutshell, it just provides tools when you're on that grieving journey. And I'll be honest with you, if I had not gone through CR, I would not even have considered grief share. I would have thought it wasn't for me. I didn't need it. I would be okay. But I saw how God was able to change me through CR. And so I went to grief share, and it has helped me very much. And then a member of our church reached out to me, a young mother, and shared with me how grief share helped her. And it has been a blessing to me. Community! Psalms 130, verse 5, says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. And that's where I do. I put my hope in God. I don't see it. I'm not, but I know, because as we said, God, he fulfills all his promises to us. So I know. Now, I will also say that Gary on The Golden Bachelor, anybody watched it? Okay. He gives me hope, too. Now, I don't put any hope in him, but he gives me hope because he's a 71-year-old man who found a second chance. So perhaps God will bring me a second chance as well, you know? So, well, that's not community, but that's Gary. So... As I conclude, please know that we're all faced with challenges that challenge our walk with God. And we have to decide if we're going to run to God or we're going to run from God. And at Christ Community Church, it is a community with multiple small groups, with members who allow God to use us. And please know that we are not perfect. I am not perfect. And if any of the videos from the birthday party that my girlfriend and I, Denise, went to last night circulate, you will know, no, she cannot dance. No, she cannot sing. You'll get confirmation that I am not perfect. But I truly do encourage you to run to God. And if you're not ready to run, then walk. And if you're not ready to walk, then crawl. But choose God. So I thank y'all for listening. Or at least not falling asleep. And may God continue to bless and keep you during this holiday season as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Stand right here. And would y'all just stand with me and let's pray for the sister right here. I'm just amazed at just your boldness and just, I could see the Spirit just moving through you. I was so hesitant to make that call because with your husband passing just this past August, I didn't know if it would be too much. But you've demonstrated that God has definitely been moving in your life. We want to continue to pray for you. Father, we just thank you for our sister. We thank you, Lord, for her just taking the opportunity, embracing the opportunity to come and just share what community means to her and what it looks like. I pray that as she has shared that maybe there's someone here who has had some horrendous things, or maybe not so horrendous, just difficulties in life. And they feel themselves pulling away. They feel themselves isolating. They feel themselves having negative thoughts toward God or toward others. We pray, Father, that as Cindy has so freely shared, that you will work through her words to draw that person or those persons to you here today. I want to ask you to continue to heal, strengthen, equip our sister so she can continue to proclaim your word to all that she comes in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cindy. Let's give her another round of applause. She makes her way. So you can stay standing because we're getting ready to close. As we're standing, this is the only thing I want to say to you. The only thing I want to say to you is this, is that if there's any out there, and if any of your relationships in your life, any of your relationships that you know they need to be repaired so that you can experience authentic community with God and with others, if that's you, no matter how small or how large the relationship is, if you know it needs to be repaired, as they begin to play this song, I want to just invite you to come to the altar. The prayer team is going to make their way down. They're going to sing that song about the blood of Jesus. I love that song. I was listening to it before we came out. Such a perfect song for a time like this, because sometimes our wounds seems like they're just so deep. Our hurt seems so vast. But what we're talking about here today is an invitation into community. So they're saying, you know, if that's you, if you don't know this Jesus, if all the things we've been talking about today and you say that, I hear people talking about it, but I don't know it for myself, this is a day of salvation today. Or maybe you're just having a tough time and you just need somebody to just pray. We don't want to overlook that either. But as they sing, I'd love for you to respond as Jesus leads you.
Glorious light.
here's what I know. In John's story, or telling of the Christmas story, in John chapter 1, it's at verse number 14. At verse number 14, you know, in the Message paraphrase, I always love this, the way Eugene Peterson translated or that particular verse. It says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. When I read it this time, what went through my mind is that, you know where the flesh and blood is? It's right there to your left. There's flesh and blood right there to your right. There's flesh and blood in front of you. There's flesh and blood behind you. Because the Spirit of the living God lives in us. And so the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And because of that, we saw the glory with our own eyes. The one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out. True from start to finish. If you are not a part of a community, you can get a part of this one today. After this service over in the CEC, we're having that one thing that we do prior to saying to you, come and be a member, come and be a part of this community. It's called Getting Started. If you hadn't registered, don't worry about it. I'm talking to those of us who you know you've been doing life on your own far too long. This message has kind of compelled you to say, I need to get closer. You want what Cindy talked about. First step. Hey, you say, man, I'm going to be hungry. We got food for you. We'll go out and order some more if don't have enough. And if you did sign up, we're just a reminder that it takes place right after the service over in the CEC. But for all the rest of us, I pray that you have a great week, that you will come back to see what God with us means to us next week and the week after. I love you. God bless you. God with us. Amen.